heard Prabhupada and other devotees, those who were there at that time, Prabhupada had arrived in Atlanta and he sat on the Vyasasan and he was directly opposite the beautiful Gaur Nitai deities. And so he started to speak and he was quoting this song, but he couldn't. He started to cry. And everyone could see Prabhupada was very, very emotional. And he spoke for maybe a minute or two and then he couldn't go on. So Prabhupada returned to his quarters and the word came down through disciplic succession that in the evening he wanted everyone to be ready that he would sing this particular song and explain it. So the evening came. The temple room was packed with devotees and some guests. And Prabhupada sang this song. First he sang it with kartals. And somebody had brought a tape recorder. So after Prabhupada sang the song, they played the tape back. And Prabhupada played mridanga to accompany his singing. And it was very, very ecstatic. And I'll try, of course, nobody can even come close to Srila Prabhupada's singing, but we can certainly try to follow his footsteps and sing the tune as best as I can, as I remember it from 1975. This song is entitled Sri Sri Gaur Nityananda Daya, and generally devotees refer to it as Parama Karuna. And for you musicians out there, it's a 1-2 beat. Parama Karuna Pahundwi Jana Nitai Gora Chandra. Parama karuna pahundvi jana nithai gora chandra. Karuna pahundvi jana nithai gora chandra. Shabavata sarashiramani Kevalananda Kanda Shabhavata Sarashiramani Kevalananda Kanda Shabhavata Sarashiramani Kevalananda Kanda Shabhavata Sarashiramani Kevalananda Kanda. So that's the first verse. We'll take it. There are four verses. So Parama Karuna Pahundwi Jan Nitai Gora Chandra. This song, the author of this song is saying that there are two personalities. Their names, Nitai Gora Chandra. Of course, Nitai Gora Chandra are here on the altar on the far left-hand side, Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, and Parama Karuna. They are extremely merciful. And that was what Srila Prabhupada was thinking about when he was crying. He was looking at the deities. And all he could think about is how merciful these two lords are. They're supremely merciful. Shabha Avatar, Sara Shiro Mani. They are the crown jewel. They are the essence of all incarnations of Godhead. We learn from the Vedas that there are six different kinds of incarnations. And of all these incarnations, the essence, the crown jewel of all of them, is this manifestation of Nitai Gaurachandra, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. They are the essence. And then Kevala Ananda Kanda. They have introduced a process of self-realization which is simply joyful. We know from Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 verse 2, Krishna says that this process of Krishna consciousness, which is what Bhagavad Gita is teaching, is susukam kartam avyayam. The process is very easy, very joyfully performed, and it's everlasting. So here, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda have introduced a specific process of bhakti, or a specific process of devotional service, which is simply joyful, simply blissful. What is their process? Their process is simply chant and dance, and when you get tired, take rest, and then take some prasadam. I must confess, this is the reason why I became a Hare Krishna devotee, especially the prasadam part. Even today, my wife is trying to get me to do yoga. But yoga is not Kevala Anandakanda. No. Lord Chaitanya's process is so nice. Anyone from any culture, young or old, anyone can participate. If you want to study the Vedas, that requires knowledge and education and training. But when it comes to Lord Chaitanya's process, no previous experience is needed. All you have to do is be willing to chant and dance and take prasad. Who can not do that? No, anyone can do it. It's so easy and so simple. And even in Lord Chaitanya's 8 instructions, what does he say? That he says, Niyamatak smarane nakala. And there are no hard and fast rules. You can do chanting and dancing anytime, any place, anywhere, any situation. So their process is easy and simply blissful. Just chant, dance, and take prasadam. So now we go to the second verse. Bhaja bhaja bhai Chaitanya Nita Sudridda Vishvasa Kori. Bhaja bhaja bhai Chaitanya Nita Sudridda Vishvasa Kori. Vishaya Chadiya Serase Majiya Mukhe Balla Hari Hari. Vishaya Chadiya Serase Majiya Mukhe Balla Hari Hari. So now the author says, Bhajo Bhajo Bhai, my dear brothers and sisters, because we are all children of God. God is the Father. We learn this from Bhagavad Gita. God, Krishna, is the Father of all living beings. So if God is the Father of all living beings, we are His children. Therefore, we are all equal. Bhajo bhajo bhai Chaitanya Nitai. So the author is saying, my dear brother, my dear sister, just worship, just follow Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, Sudrida Vishvasakori, with firm faith and conviction. Don't have any doubts. Just practice it. Just do it. Vishaya Chadiya Serase Majiya Muke Bolo Hari Hari. But there is one thing he's pointing out. You have to give up sinful life. You have to give up material sense gratification. Even we see Srila Prabhupada, who was extremely merciful and tolerant, coming over from India on the order of his spiritual master to spread the Krishna consciousness movement for the first time in history outside of India, coming to America and then going back to India and establishing Krishna consciousness in 108 temples all over the world. Even Srila Prabhupada insisted that if one wanted to become an initiated disciple, then one had to be a little serious and at least agree to give up the four pillars of sinful life. What are these four pillars of sinful life? Eating of meat, fish, eggs, sex outside of marriage, intoxication, and gambling. These are called the four pillars of sinful life, and under the roof of those four pillars, all other sins are included. So if one can break these four pillars, then the roof of sinful life comes tumbling down. So the author of this song is indicating that one has to be somewhat prepared to give up this materialistic sinful life and lead a pure life. If one can agree to follow these four regulative principles, then one is living a sufficiently pure life. Then he says, Mukhe bolo hari hari. Everybody say hari hari. So he says, now on top of that, with your mouth, simply chant the name of God, hari hari. Now if you do this, now you are a pure devotee. Give up these four sinful activities very, very strictly, very, very rigidly. Prabhupada writes in his Nectar of Instruction that one must be very enthusiastic to follow these four regulative principles. This is required. You must be enthusiastic not to eat meat, not to have illicit sex, not to get intoxicated, and not to gamble. You must be enthusiastic to follow these. And then on top of that, if you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, now you are pure. You are a pure devotee. At least you can say you are a pure devotee on the neophyte stage. So he says, Mukhe bolo hari hari, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bolo! Now he goes into the third verse.
Dekho re bhai tribhuvane na emon dayala data. Dekho re bhai tribhuvane na emon dayala data. Pashu paki jure Pashana vidare shunijara guna gata. Pashu paki jure Pashana vidare shunijara guna gata.
So now the author says, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, now just examine this, just consider. Where will you find anyone greater or better than these two brothers, Nityananda and Chaitanya? Where are you going to find? Even the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj, says, you just scrutinize this philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, you will find it to be exceedingly wonderful. I can recall in first reading about Lord Chaitanya and studying the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, I had the realization that I was raised Catholic, and my whole life I worship Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is taught in the Christian philosophy to be the merciful manifestation, the Son of God. But when I read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, then I became convinced, yes, that may be so, but no one is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. They are even greater, so infinitely greater. And the author of this song is indicating that also. Where are you going to find anyone more merciful? Pashu pake jure, pashana vidare, shuni jara gunagata. These two lords are so great, so magnanimous, that they can make the stone-hearted man's heart melt. How does one's heart become stone-hearted? One's heart becomes stone-hearted by breaking the, or I should not say breaking, but committing these four great sinful activities. The more one engages in eating meat, the one more engages in sex, the more one takes intoxication and gambling, the heart becomes harder and harder and harder, and it becomes impossible to understand God. This is one reason why we insist, Srila Prabhupada insists, that one has to follow these vows very enthusiastically. Because without that, then understanding of God is going to be extremely difficult, nay, impossible. Because the heart has to become softened. So the people of Kali Yuga, because they don't know any better, because they're misguided, poorly educated in spiritual life, unlucky, and their minds are always disturbed, the people of Kali Yuga virtually have very little chance or opportunity to make spiritual advancement. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, therefore, have introduced this easy process. And this easy process is there, and we simply have to take to it. And yes, even the most stone-hearted man's heart will be melted if he agrees to follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada in our ISKCON movement. Lord Chaitanya, his potency was so great that when he was on his way to Vrindavan, he was passing through the part of India called Bihar, and there is one forest, Jarikunda. And one time, he was passing through that forest, and he came upon some animals, and he induced the animals to chant Hare Krishna. And the animals were following him, and in their voice, in the animal's voice, they were chanting Hare Krishna. Now, that's not possible for me and you, but that is possible for Lord Chaitanya because he's God. He is able, he has that potency to awaken the dormant love of God in animals, because it is one of Lord Chaitanya's basic principles that love of God is dormant in the heart of every living being. Irregardless, one may be very stone-hearted, one may be very demoniac, one may be Satan himself. Lord Chaitanya's teaching is, never mind, love of God is lying dormant in that person's heart. Simply by the application of this process, then that dormant desire or that dormant love of God, which is natural, becomes awakened. Just like if you have firewood, because the firewood has stored the sun's energy, then by a certain process, that fire within the wood becomes manifest. So similarly, irregardless, doesn't matter who you are, love of Godhead is there. Simply, one has to become expert in trying to extract it. That's what Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, and their followers are trying to do. That's what the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to do. Some people do not understand ISKCON. Sometimes people say, why doesn't ISKCON do this social welfare activity? Why doesn't ISKCON open hospitals and do this well? No. ISKCON is for this point. ISKCON is for how to awaken the dormant love of Godhead in every living being. This is what ISKCON is. It's not a social club. No. It's a serious institution by which people can awaken their dormant love of God. This is what we are doing. And it all depends on the expert teacher who figures out ways and means of how people, generation after generation, can awaken their dormant love of God. Srila Prabhupada, the most expert practical teacher, has given us so many guidelines, and I'm glad to say that this temple nicely follows Srila Prabhupada's instructions. We have our book distribution. Prabhupada said that when you go out and distribute books, Krishna consciousness is automatically spread. The management of this temple is dedicated to that principle. They will always figure out the ways and means of how Srila Prabhupada's books can be distributed. Then, Prabhupada didn't give us just one weapon. Prabhupada is the real weapon of mass destruction. And he's destroying the ignorance. He's destroying the illusion. And he has many weapons in his arsenals. We also have the beautiful temple, the beautiful deity worship. That is also there to awaken the dormant love of Godhead. Do you not, when you come every Sunday, and I've been saying it now for 13 years, the most famous, most beautiful deities, don't you see it every week after week after week when we have these festivals? Don't you see and don't you realize how great this Krishna consciousness movement is? But that's not all. We have our Govinda's restaurant where people, and if you come during the week, a large part of our clientele, they're not Hindus, they're not devotees, they're ordinary people, and they're coming to take Krishna prasadam, and that also will begin to awaken their dormant love of God. And we have all these different programs in ISKCON that Srila Prabhupada has given. What for? So that people can awaken their dormant love of God. And the symptom of someone who has awakened their dormant love of God is that they want to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bolo! So we have final verse. Sangsare majia rolila padia se pade nahila asha. Sangsare majia rohili padia se pade nahila asha. Apana karama Bunjaye shamana kahaye lochana dasa apana karama bunjaye shamana kahaye lochana dasa. Now, as typical in many of these Vaishnava bhajans and songs, in order to instruct us, many times the author will put himself in the position of an ordinary conditioned soul. He's not an ordinary conditioned soul. Lochan Das Thakur, the author, was almost a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya. He's a great, pure devotee of Krishna. But for our benefit, for our instruction, they put themselves on this platform of a fallen conditioned soul. So he says here placing himself like us, that what am I doing? That I am not actually taking part in this Sankirtan movement of chanting and dancing as best as I should be. I need to improve. I need to increase. This is another symptom of a devotee who is trying to advance. The symptom is the devotee honestly thinks, I have not done anything for Krishna. Now let me try to improve. Now let me try to increase my service. For instance, one year, the devotees, they worked very, very hard to distribute books for Srila Prabhupada. And the devotees certainly did amazing results. So they went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, we distributed so many thousands of literatures, and of course, everyone was thinking, oh, Prabhupada's going to pat us on the head. What did Prabhupada say? Double it. And we see that Prabhupada also practiced what he preached. Prabhupada never rested on his laurels. Prabhupada was always trying to double and increase his devotional service. This is the symptom of a devotee. The devotee is never satisfied. Yes, I have done this for Krishna. Now I can relax. I can take a vacation. No, that is not the mark of a devotee. The devotee is thinking, I've wasted so much time. Now I must do something now better. When Prabhupada chastised us Americans, he said, you Americans, do something wonderful for Krishna. You're supposed to be big, big nation. Now do something wonderful for Krishna. And for me, that has a very special meaning, because at that same time, when Prabhupada sang this song in Atlanta in March of 1975, a few days later, there was a Sunday feast lecture. And Prabhupada was, there was a play, a drama about Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada liked it. Then Prabhupada gave a lecture and he answered questions. I remember somebody tried to be very smart with Prabhupada. And they said, so who is the eighth or ninth incarnation of Krishna? And Prabhupada says, I think it is Kalki. And he comes to cut the head of the demon. And all the devotees went into an uproar. So me, being a wise guy, being a punk, I decided, okay, I'm going to ask Prabhupada a question. I want to see. Because at that time, there was lots of controversy in ISKCON. Everybody was thinking, this service is better than that service. And if you want to please Prabhupada, you got to do this. And you're not a devotee because you're not doing. So there was all this talk. So I raised my hand. I was in, Prabhupada's Vyasa-san was in the back, so I was up front. So I raised my hand and I said, Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And of course, to humble me, Prabhupada said, what? And so he had his secretary there and he repeated the question, Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And you could hear a pin drop, just like right now. And Prabhupada lowered his head, closed his eyes and said, when you love Krishna. So for me, I take that as my only instruction I ever got from Srila Prabhupada. That if I want to please him, then I have to love Krishna. But how do you love Krishna? You love Krishna by following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. That's where it begins. You cannot jump and say, oh yes, now I love Krishna. No. Loving Krishna is a lifelong endeavor. Not just lifelong, lives long. And it begins by strictly and sincerely following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. So we're all in this together. Sometimes ISKCON is compared to a boat. And as you know, if you've ever been on a boat, the boat does not go very smoothly because of the waves. And sometimes the waves are very rocky, as they say. And if you're not careful, you can be tossed out of the boat. So this is a very nice analogy. So the trick is to somehow or other stay in the boat of ISKCON. And those of us who are veterans, we can tell you, that's not so easy sometimes. Sometimes the waves are very rocky. And I'm sure if we asked our temple president, he could give you books and books of practical events in his life where it has been extremely difficult to stay in this boat of ISKCON. But somehow or other, we stay on the boat, and this boat will not sink. This is not the Titanic. This boat will not sink. Why? Because it is Lord Chaitanya's boat. Prabhupada said, he wrote in his Bhagavatam, Krishna has taken birth in the womb of ISKCON. So Krishna is here in this movement. And all we have to do is stay tightly, tightly fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Stay on the boat. And no matter how the winds and the waves toss, just stay on the boat. Stay in the association of devotees. And for me, it's easy because the whole reason why I joined this movement, I realized I love this food so much, I can't get this food anywhere else, so I might as well stay in the movement. So as long as there is Krishna Prasadam, I know I will be attached to this boat of ISKCON. Now, if they stop Prasadam, I've got troubles. But as I said at the beginning, Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is chanting, dancing, and feasting. So especially the feasting, I emphasize that. And that's a good cue to end this class, and let's all go and take prasadam. All in favor, say Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gaura Premanande. Thank you very much. This class is dismissed. You can all go now across the street and honor Krishna Prasadam. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai. Jai. Rock and roll. Rock and roll.